हरे कृष्णा कृष्णा कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयामुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। ओके, सो टुडे वी विल डिस्कस चैप्टर 17, टेक्स्ट 1। श्री शुका उवाच, यतश्चान्तरहितोऽनन्तः तस्य कृत्वा दिशे नमः। विद्याधरश्चित्रकेतुः शचार गगनेचरः। Okay, so the Lord gave him darshan, he offered prayers and the Lord also spoke to him. Then the Lord disappeared and then Chitraketu Maharaj, he offered obeisances in the direction in which the Lord disappeared. You know, so we know how the Vaishnavas, whenever the Lord appears or whenever disappears, both we offer obeisances, right? When the darshan open, we offer obeisances. When the darshan close, we offer obeisances. Similarly, it's mentioned over here. Sa laksham varsha lakshanam abhyahat balendriyah stuyamano mahayogi unibhi siddha charane kulachalenendra dronishu nana sankalpa siddhishu रेमे विद्याधर स्त्रीभिर् कापयन् हरिमीश्वरम्।
Being praised by great sages and saints and by the inhabitants of Siddhaloka and Charanaloka, Chitraketu, the most powerful mystic yogi, wandered about enjoying life for millions of years. With bodily strength and senses free from deterioration, he traveled within the valleys of the Sumeru mountain, which is the place of perfection for various kinds of mystic power. In those valleys, he enjoyed life with the women of Vidyadhara Loka by chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord Hari.
Okay, so Chitraketu Maharaj enjoyed life. What was his enjoyment? Reme Vidya Dhara Sthribhir. He was enjoyed life actually in hearing and chanting about Krishna. And of course all the other facilities were there. You know, he had a nice plain and there was a beautiful valley he lived and roamed about. You know, there were many women, Reme Vidya Dhara Sthribhir. So although he was in association with women, but his he was not attached to them, or he didn't enjoy the association, but he enjoyed Gapayan Hari Mishwaram. Right? He enjoyed hearing the glories of the Lord being chanted by these women. Like that. But it's quite amazing, just see what is the power of the association of Narad Muni. He said, he stuyamano mahayogi munibhi siddha charane. He was being glorified, you know, always. Just imagine what was his condition before. He was lamenting at the loss of the dead son, you know, how bitterly he was lamenting. and in the bodily concept. But Narad Muni's mercy is now, he's so elevated, he's become so exalted. Stuya mano mahayogi muni bhi siddha charana. The great sages, munis, charanas, siddhas, they were all glorifying him, right, for his great devotion to the Lord. Just compare the two positions, you know, it's quite astonishing. Four to five. Ekadasa vimanena Vishnu dattena bhasvata Grisham dadrishe gacchan Paritam siddha charane Alingyanke kritam devim Ahuna muni samsadi Uvacha devya shanvantya Jahasu chestadantike.
One time, while King Chitraketu was traveling in outer space on a brilliantly effulgent airplane given to him by Lord Vishnu, he saw Lord Shiva surrounded by siddhas and charanas. Lord Shiva was sitting in an assembly of great saintly persons and embracing Parvati on his lap with his arm. Chitraketu laughed loudly and spoke within the hearing of Parvati.
Okay, so he sees Lord Shiva, you know, while roaming. He saw Lord Shiva is sitting in the assembly. And how is he sitting? He is sitting Alingya Anki Kritam Devim. Mother Parvati was sitting on his lap and he was embracing Mother Parvati while speaking katha to the assembly of sages. Right? So that was the... So Chitraketu Maharaj, seeing this, he jahas uchas, he loudly laughed. You know? So... So Vishwanath Thakur gives the principle of basically that he gives a verse to show how this pastime should be understood, right? So basically the key understanding of the pastime, there are many lessons, but this is the most important, right? This is the foundational lesson upon which everything else should be understood. Vishnu Thakur gives in the very beginning only. So he says, Bhaktim Bhutim Harir Dattva So Vichetan Bhutaye Devya Shapen Vritratvam Nitvatam So Antike Nayat. So Lord gave him Bhaktim and Bhutim, both. The Lord gave him Bhakti and Lord of material opulences, Harir Dattva. However, So Vichet Anubhutaye, the Lord, he felt separation from Chitraketu Maharaj. Chitraketu Maharaj is such an exalted devotee that the Lord, feeling separation for him, inspired Mother Parvati, Devya Shapena. He now, through the shrap of Mother Parvati, gave him Vritrattvam, gave the body of a demon now. Right? So, you know, so he gave, Lord gave bhakti to him, lot of material opulence. Now he gave the body of demon, the same Lord. You know? Nitvatam Santike Nayat, in order to bring Chitraketu Maharaj close to him. So the Lord said, yes, now he should come back. Lord felt separation. You know, or by his mercy. Right? But it's a bhakti is reciprocal, you know. So like that. So Prabhupada says, for this is the last 5-6 last line of the purport. For Parvati to be embraced by Lord Shiva was natural in a relationship between husband and wife. This was nothing extraordinary for Chitraketu to see. Nonetheless, Chitraketu laughed loudly to see Lord Shiva in that situation, even though he should not have done so. Thus he was eventually cursed, and this curse was the cause of his returning back home, back to Godhead. So look, already it has been pointed out that the Lord engineered this whole pastime. You know, it was the plan of the Lord. But still, as we will see, that Prabhupada points out, no, Chitraketu Maharaj shouldn't have done so. He became a little proud. There will be fault. So when it is said that the Lord, it was already the plan of the Lord, that implies we should not find fault with either Chitraketu Maharaj or Mother Parvati. That is very clear. Okay, we are not supposed to find any fault. It was the plan of the Lord. But still, we'll see that faults of Chitraketu Maharaj and Mother Parvati will be pointed out only to draw the lesson for the sadhakas. That is the only purpose. Otherwise, they are not at fault. Okay, so therefore, one has to be careful. When we are saying, okay, no, Chitraketu Maharaj, no, he should not have laughed loudly, Prabhupada is saying. So there is that means he should not have done, means he did something little wrong, right? Means pointing fault with Chitraketu Maharaj only for the lessons for the practicing devotees, right? Otherwise, both of them are not in fault at all. It's just like we studied pastime of Jai Vijay and Four Kumaras. Actually, both of them are not at fault. But we studied that, you know, Jai Vijay committed mistakes. Four Kumaras committed mistakes. They both repented also. You know, all that for the lessons sake. But when there is a directly plan of the Lord, actually, one should not consider them to be faulty in any way. That will not be the right understanding. Okay, so, yes. Yeah, there have been many instances in which a devotee acting as a demon has been brought to the kingdom of God by the mercy of the Lord. Who are the other examples? Prahlad Maharaj, Pali Maharaj. And many demons have been brought. They acted as demons, but they were brought to the kingdom of the Lord. The demons attained the kingdom of the Supreme Lord. Although externally as demon, you know, by birth. But they were actually great devotees. Okay. Chitraketur Uvacha. Esha Loka Guru Sakshad. Dharmam Vakta Sharirinam. Aste Mukhya Sabhayam Vah. Mituni Bhuya Bharaya.
Chitraketu said, Lord Shiva, the spiritual master of the general populace, is the best of all living entities who have accepted material bodies. He enunciates the system of religion. Yet how wonderful it is that he is embracing his wife Parvati in the midst of an assembly of great saintly persons.
Okay, so Chitraketu Maharaj, he speaks in a joking way. Because he just laughed loudly first, you know. So he, in a joking way, Chitraketu Maharaj is speaking. Esha Loka Guru Saksha. Just see, he is the Loka Guru, you know. Ye jo sabhi loko ke guru hain, inki position dekhiye pehle. You know. So he is speaking jokingly, you know. And he is speaking, and he is actually, Lord Shiva is the Loka Guru, Dharma Vakta. He speaks about religion, you know, और ऐसा भी नहीं कि मदर पार्वती को साइड में बिठाया हुआ है, बिल्कुल लैप में बिठाया हुआ है. तो चित्रकूमार बोलते हैं, बिल्कुल साइड में बिठाया हुआ तो फिर भी ठीक था. मदर पार्वती not just sitting on the side, but on his very lap and he's embracing. Just see the position of the Loka Guru and Dharma Vakta. उनकी सिचुएशन देखिए. You know, so like that. So he speaks in a joking way. You know, he speaks in a joking way. So one should understand that there was no malice in the heart of Chitraketu Maharaj. Right? Rather, he is saying that just see the position, how exalted Lord Shiva is. You know, even in that position, actually he is Loka Guru and Dharma Vakta. You got the point? But actually, his intention is not malice. There is appreciation also hidden. But outward, it's like a joking criticism. It's a joking criticism, but there is appreciation hidden within it, actually. Right? Guru text 7. Jatadharas tivratapa chati brahmavadi sabhapatihi anki kritya striyam chaste gathari prakrito yatha.
Lord Shiva, whose hair is matted on his head, has certainly undergone great austerities and penance. Indeed, he is the president in the assembly of strict followers of Vedic principles. Nonetheless, he is seated with his wife on his lap in the midst of saintly persons and is embracing her as if he were a shameless, ordinary human being.
Okay, so again Chitraketu Maharaj, in the same mood, he says, Jatadharas, just see, he is a renounced person. Jata, itni badi jata hai. बहुत तीव्र इनका तप है एंड ही इज अ ब्रह्मवादी ही इज अ फॉलोअर ऑफ द वैदिक प्रिंसिपल्स एंड ही सभापति यू नो द फोर टर्म्स आर यूज्ड जस्ट सी हाउ ग्रेट हिज पोजीशन इज यू नो वेरी ही इज अ रिनाउंस्ड ब्रह्मचारी वेरी ग्रेट तपस्वी ही इज अ ब्रह्मवादी फॉलो ऑफ द वैदिक प्रिंसिपल्स and he's the leader of the assembly. Still Angi Kritya Sriyam Chaste Gat Hari Prakrito Yatha. Still he is sitting, he's acting like a shameless person. You know, ordinary shameless person who doesn't mind embracing his wife in public. You know. Gat Hari is given up all shame, Chitraketu Maharaj is saying. So, Prabhupada says, Chitraketu appreciated the exalted position of Lord Shiva and therefore he remarked at how wonderful it was that Lord Shiva was acting like an ordinary human being. Although he seems to be acting like an ordinary human being, still he is so exalted. So, Prabhupada says that he appreciated Lord Shiva's position. Right? And he was astonished. So actually, you see, the Chitraketu Maharaj, he is having the feeling of astonishment. He is having appreciation. And at the same time, he actually has a humor. So you know, so there is a, you have to understand the mood of Chitraketu Maharaj. So there is a humor in his demeanor. There is a humor, there is an appreciation, there is astonishment, and there is criticism also. There's these four things exist in his remarks. Right? These four feelings are intertwined. Humor is there, appreciation is there, astonishment is there, and at the same time, there is some small criticism also there. But there is no malice. That is, the criticism is not born of malice, but there is criticism. You know, there can be a positive criticism also. So there is criticism. So therefore, Prabhupada clarifies toward the end of the purport, although Chitraketu criticized Lord Shiva, he did not offend Lord Shiva like Daksha. He is not minimizing the position of Lord Shiva. His remarks are not to be considered like that of Daksha. Right? since there is no malice. Daksha considered Lord Shiva insignificant, but Chitraketu expressed wonder at how Lord Shiva being situated in that position. Right? So he is astonished, you know, how although externally like ordinary persons, his consciousness, Lord Shiva, is still so exalted, you know. Okay, we go to text 8. Prayasha prakritaschapi Striyam rahasi bibrati Ayam mahavrata dharo Vivarti sadasi striyam.
Ordinary conditioned souls generally embrace their wives and enjoy their company in solitary places. How wonderful it is that Lord Mahadev, although a great master of austerity, is embracing his wife openly in the midst of an assembly of great saints.
Okay, so now there is a very clear criticism, you know. He says, just see, ordinary, he said, first he says, you know, Lord Shiva is acting like an ordinary person. He said, but wait, ordinary people also embrace their wife in solitary place, you know. Prayasha, mostly ordinary people also do not behave like this. Prakritaschapi, Prayasha, most of the ordinary people are also Sriyam Rahasi Vibrati. They embrace their wives in solitary place, not openly. But how wonderful it is, he is saying, I am Mahavrato Dharo. And he is not ordinary, he is a Mahavrata Dharo. He is a master of great vows and austerities. Right? A Mahavrata Vrata Dharo also is explained means he is a Naishthik Brahmachari, Lord Shiva. You know, a Brahmachari who has never fallen down. Mahavrata Dhara indicates a Brahmachari who has never fallen down. And he is the best of the yogis. Right? But still he is acting like that. So Vishnu Thakur says that Lord Shiva was embracing his wife and still he was a great brahmachari. He was not agitated actually. And he was still speaking on dharma. This shows the inconceivable powers of Lord Shiva. Right? So Maharaj Chitraketu is astonished at this inconceivable power of Lord Shiva, you know, which no one can exhibit. So Prabhupada says, Lord Shiva is counted among the best of the yogis, yet he embraced his wife in the midst of great saintly persons. Chitraketu appreciated how great Lord Shiva was to be unaffected even in that situation. Therefore, Chitraketu was not an offender. He merely expressed his wonder. Okay? So, Chitraketu Maharaj is not committing any offense. But is there any mistake on Chitraketu Maharaj's part? Now, we are talking of lessons, from the lessons point of view. Chitraketu Maharaj, is there any mistake on his part? Certainly he is not an offender. Yes. Okay. Anyone else? Okay, so there was loud laugh was a mistake, right? I said repeated criticism by them was a mistake. And especially in front of Mother Parvati, you know. Yeah. So basically, yeah, there are some mistakes on part of Chitraketu Maharaj. It will become more clear as we read. Right? So from the points of learning lessons, there are some mistakes Chidraketu Maharaj made. He is not offensive to Lord Shiva. He has no malice. But still there are some mistakes. That means they are not serious mistakes, but some small mistakes are there. That we will see as we go ahead. Shishuka Uvacha Bhagwan Abhidashutva Prasyagadadhirnipa Tushanim Babu Vasadasi Sabhyascha Tadanubrata.
Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, "My dear King, after hearing Chitraketu's statement, Lord Shiva, the most powerful personality whose knowledge is bottomless, simply smiled and remained silent, and all the members of the assembly followed the Lord by not saying anything."
Okay, so hearing this, Lord Shiva also just smiled, you know, and all the assembly, they remained silent. They didn't do anything, you know, they just remained neutral. They saw Lord Shiva smiling, so none of them reacted. You know, the great saintly people were sitting. Right? All those who were sitting will be mentioned later. Lord Brahma was sitting, Narada Muni was sitting, Vyasadeva was sitting. You know, great. There were no ordinary people sitting, you know. Chitraketu's own guru was sitting in the assembly. great people sitting in the assembly. Bhrigu Muni was sitting, but gone to test Lord Vishnu, you know. So like that. So many great saintly people were sitting in that assembly. All remained silent. And Lord Shiva simply laughed. Laughed is he smiled actually. You know. Not jahad, but prahasya. You know, the intensity. There are many words in Sanskrit that indicate the intensity of. Right? Whether it's a small, very slight smile or a little more, or, you know, according to intensity, different words are used. So he just smiled, Lord Shiva. You know. Yeah, so Agadadhirnipa, he said Lord Shiva's has a fathomless intelligence, right? So therefore he could fathom the intentions of Chitraketu Maharaj in this criticism, right? Because he is Agadadhir. Prabhupada says, Chitraketu's purpose in criticizing Lord Shiva is somewhat mysterious and cannot be understood by a common man. But Lord Shiva is Agadadhi. He is no ordinary man. He could fathom, although it was a very mysterious way he spoke, you know, his intentions were difficult to be grasped, but Lord Shiva could understand the intention. Therefore, he just smiled. He didn't took any offense, Lord Shiva. Right? So Srila Vishwanatha Thakur, however, has made the following observation. Vishwanatha Thakur says, Lord Shiva, being the most exalted Vaishnava and one of the most powerful demigods, is able to do anything he desires. Although he was externally exhibiting the behavior of a common man and not following etiquette, such actions cannot diminish his exalted position. The difficulty is that a common man seeing Lord Shiva's behavior might follow his example. So that was the reason of the criticism by Chitraketu Maharaj. Two things. One thing, there was a joking. In a joke, a person may a little bit, you know, pull someone's sometimes joking criticism, you know, just to have some friendly reciprocation, you know. Thoda aisa dost aapas mein joke karte hain kabhi kabhi. So like that. That was one aspect of it. Another is, Chitraketu Maharaj felt that actually this people will not be able to understand Lord Shiva's position. You know, people will actually unnecessarily criticize Lord Shiva. Although he is such a great personality, foolish people may criticize Lord Shiva and become offensive and they may degrade. So therefore, he criticized Lord Shiva just in order to save people from falling down by committing offense at Lord Shiva. You know, like that. That was so Lord Shiva understood that his criticism is for actually benefit of the world. His intention is to benefit people in general. It's not a malice intention. So the intention is right. So therefore Lord Shiva, understanding the intention, did not take any, he didn't mind the harsh word it's mentioned. Lord Shiva didn't become angry at the harsh words of Chitraketu Maharaj. Okay, so Vishnu Thakur says, Chitraketu Maharaj thought, if today I can establish that he has a proper conduct, it will be beneficial for the world. You want to establish that Lord Shiva is actually a great exalted personality. Common people should not misunderstand him. So therefore, if he said he wanted to establish the proper conduct, and it will be beneficial for the world. Vishnu Thakur says, Vishnu benefits the world because he follows proper conduct. But Lord Shiva is inauspicious because of his apparent misconduct. You know, there are people who may consider Lord Shiva to be not very auspicious for his misconduct. He should not have infamy, Chitraketu Maharaj thought. Right? He should not have infamy. So in this way, said, if I point this out and Lord Shiva corrects himself, doesn't behave like this externally, then people will understand his exalted position. You know, they will not misunderstand him like that. So understanding that, Lord Shiva didn't become angry, understanding this. And another reason given over herein, he said, actually, if Chitraketu had intended to criticize Shiva, the assembly would have blocked their ears and left. Just like when the assembly, they heard the words of Shishupal, the king of Chedi, number of people, they covered their ears and they walked out angrily cursing Shishupal. Right? If any assembly, the Lord or his Vaishnava is criticized, the great saintly persons, they know the principle of religion. If they could have sensed any offense in Chitraketu Maharaj's word, they would not have tolerated it. They would have gotten up and left, or criticizing, they would themselves have pointed out the fault in Chitraketu Maharaj. They remained silent. Lord Shiva smiled, they remained silent. So Lord Shiva understood the intention, he smiled. Others understood Lord Shiva's intention and Chitraketu Maharaj's intention both. They could understand the unspoken exchange between the two. And they remained silent. Right? So Prabhupada says in the first paragraph, last 6-7 lines. King Chitraketu desired that Lord Shiva sees his external behavior so that others might be saved from criticizing him and thus becoming offenders. Considering all this, King Chitraketu was somewhat harsh in his behavior with Lord Shiva. That is his first mistake. You know, his words were harsh, intentions were good. So sometimes it happens that, you know, a person speaks something and the other person feels offended, right? And then a person, when he's brought to notice, no, actually I didn't mean that. I did not mean that. You know, I didn't have any intention of criticizing you or demeaning you, but I just spoke out of this intention, you know. You get the point. So in this world also this happens, but the point mentioned here is intention may be right, but right intention doesn't justify the wrong use of words. One cannot say, one cannot justify one's wrong word only just by saying that my intentions were good. Therefore, a Vaishnava has to become sensitive. His intentions are right. Actually, in Vaishnava society, most of the time, 99% of the time, the intentions are actually right. But it is somehow the way of expression, you know, the words used, or is sometimes the time is not right, the time on which the exchange or the one person speaks something, the time may not be right. The way the words used may not be right. The person speaking, although it would be the right thing, but the person speaking may not be the right person. So all these considerations are there, right? So right intention cannot justify if a person was not sensitive to see that is it the right time to say this, right? So it was a big assembly actually, you know. The wife is sitting, you know, especially. You know, patni ke samne to nahi bolna chahiye aisa. You know, so the time, the circumstances, the use of the words, everything has to be taken care of, right? One cannot justify, nahi dekho yaar, mere intention to theek tha, aisa galat nahi samajhne ka. Don't take wrong, you know, my intentions were fine. No, but accept your mistake that you spoke at the wrong time, under the wrong circumstances, using the wrong words. That responsibility has to be taken, right? So therefore, there are certain mistakes which Chitraketu Maharaj considered. Guru text 10. Iti yatad virya vidushi ruvane bahuva shobhanam rushaha devi drishtaya nirjitatma abhimanine.
Not knowing the prowess of Lord Shiva and Parvati, Chitraketu strongly criticized them. His statements were not at all pleasing, and therefore the goddess Parvati, being very angry, spoke as follows to Chitraketu, who thought himself better than Lord Shiva in controlling the senses.
Okay, so so Mother Parvati, now she became quite angry, right? And she saw, you know, Lord Shiva and the whole assembly is quiet, you know, but she became angry, you know? And the Lord Shiva also stopped smiling, you know, because she became angry. You know, seeing her demeanor, Lord Shiva also just became silent, you know. So Lord Shiva, how did Mother Parvati perceived the words? Now your words are to be actually judged by other perception, not your intention. One has to understand that. Your words are to be judged by others' perception. If I spoke something by which a person, other person, he felt pained, or he felt criticism, or he felt being minimized, or he felt in whatever his emotion, so my words has to be understood the way I speak from others' perception actually, and I had to correct. You know, I may say that I was actually wanting to benefit you, but the words used were so that the other person is actually pained by it. I may like to give a good advice to somebody. Other person feels, "Baap re, kaisa kaisa baat kar rahe, you know, he is actually hurting me." You have a good intention. You speak with a good intention, but you have to appraise your word. Appraise means you have to judge your words by others' perception. Therefore, it's very important actually. Therefore, one should not just speak by one's own intention. One has to learn to choose words that how will other people take my words. You got the point? I may want to encourage somebody, but actually that person may be discouraged because of the wrong choices of the word, the way of speaking, the choice of the word, everything matters. So therefore, you know, therefore words have to be very carefully chosen. And therefore, the words have to be chosen as per the patra, you know. Whom I am speaking to? So you see, the Prabhupada and other great devotees, they understand the intent, the psychology of the other person, the patra, what is his mental condition, and therefore they choose the right word. It will not be the same word for everyone. It's not that the same word can encourage every person, you know. So therefore, the words are to be properly chosen. So Mother Parvati, she felt the words to be very harsh, you know. And she felt the words to be inappropriate. Bahu ashobhanam. They were against the standard of etiquette. Bahu ashobhanam. It was not inappropriate word. Mother Parvati perceived Chitraketu Maharaj words as inappropriate. And they are because of perception. Again, I say, it's not your intention that it's the perception of other. कोई कहेगा देखो तुमने गलत बोला ऐसा नहीं नहीं मैंने गलत नहीं बोला वो गलत सही जो है वो गलत इट एक्चुअली रॉन्ग द पर्सन परसीव्ड इट एज सच यू कांट से दैट इज नॉट रॉन्ग यू नो यू कांट जस्टिफाई विद योर इंटेंशन इफ दे आर परसीव्ड रॉन्ग दैट मीन्स रॉन्ग बिकॉज दिस इज अ रिलेटिव वर्ल्ड इट इज अदर परसेप्शन हाउ ही परसीव्ड योर वर्ड्स टू बी राइट सो इन स्पीकिंग द अदर पार्टीज Perception is actually important, how he is taking the words to be. You know, so therefore words have to be carefully chosen. How will another person understand? Will he understand me or misunderstand me? Right? So, Mother Parvati, she perceived the words to be ashobhanam, very inappropriate. Lord Shiva perceived those words to be friendly joking. It's a different, same words. Lord Shiva perceived it to be friendly joking, what Chitraketu Maharaj meant. But Mother Parvati perceived to be bahu ashobhanam, highly inappropriate. Right? Therefore, she became angry. And now, because of the inappropriate words, now what happens? When a person doesn't choose the right words, then although intention may be right, but his intentions are also questioned. Therefore, Mother Parvati is saying, he thinks himself to be more self-controlled than Lord Shiva. He bold, like, dekho kaise sitting shamelessly, you know, embracing. Is he more self-controlled than Lord Shiva? So now, because of not choosing the right words, Chitraketu Maharaj, not sensitively choosing the right words, it was perceived by Mother Parvati to be inappropriate. And now his intentions also became questionable. It's a fact actually. You know, if you see, do not choose the right words, your intentions are perceived by the person to be wrong. You know, that, hey, look, he is speaking like this to me. Probably, you know, doesn't want me to do this service, you know. I may want to encourage somebody, but he may feel like he's discouraging me. And then he sees, okay, but what may be the intention? Oh, his intention may be to discourage me and not do this service. Probably he wants to give this service to someone else. Just the opposite. Chitraketu Maharaj is saying, such a great sense-controlled person. But because he said in an inappropriate word, in an inappropriate way, you know, therefore his intentions also were questioned. Right? His intentions were also questioned. So therefore, you know, if such a thing happens, first one should clarify, actually I didn't mean, my intentions are not like that. But definitely I made a mistake in choosing, in speaking in a wrong way. One should accept that, you know. Why it is wrong? Because it's perceived wrong. Simple. One should accept immediately. If it is perceived wrong, it is wrong. That means I need to rephrase, I need to rethink that how should I put forth next time. You got the point? So therefore now Mother Parvati saying, look, he thinks himself to be more self-controlled, better than Lord Shiva in controlling senses. Right? Yes. Yes. Yeah, that's what he's saying. Na? Mother Parvati became angry and he is telling what is Mother Parvati's perception of Chitraketu Maharaj's comments. How did she took? Lord Shiva took in a different way, but she took in a different way. Her perception is different. Right? Okay, so although Chitraketu never meant to insult Lord Shiva, he should not have criticized the Lord. So there is some joking criticism, definitely, you know, we understood there is joking criticism, a friendly criticism. Criticism meant to, for the benefit of people in general. It's a positive criticism, but there is a criticism. Although Chitraketu never meant to insult Lord Shiva, he should not have criticized the Lord, even though the Lord was transgressing social customs. Okay, another no mistake of Chitraketu Maharaj. He should have known that it's not appropriate for me to criticize Lord Shiva, even though positively, even though with good intention, because so many other great saintly persons are sitting. They can better correct. They can better tell Lord Shiva, you know, that this may not be proper way, people may misunderstand. So, in an assembly, when there are senior devotees sitting and someone is misbehaving, one should know that the seniors are there. If they feel appropriate, they will correct. None of my business to correct. Okay, that's another mistake. From a social custom point of view, we are talking of the, you know, behavior, sadachar, the dealings, devotee dealings. So it's very important. So if there are seniors in a meeting and they are there, then they will handle. Sometime, you know, a junior person may speak up. Aisa kaise chal raha hai? You know, koi ki bol kyun nahi raha hai? You know, you should be quiet at least. You know, if someone has to speak, let the senior person speak. That's a mistake. Mother Parvati will point out that mistake in the subsequent verses. Right? So, and then it's said that it, Prabhupada says the difficulty was, so another thing is, another point mentioned here is, actually, if a great soul transgresses social etiquette, he should not be criticized. He should not be criticized. So you say, why? Who will sudhare ga? None of your business. You mind your business. A great person transgresses social etiquette, he should not be criticized. So I'll give you another two examples to demonstrate this principle. Damodar Pandit actually criticized Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with the same intention that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu may not be misunderstood. There was a son of a very young, beautiful widow woman who would regularly come to the Lord. You know? So, the Lord would show him great affection. Nityai se prabhu tare kahe kare maha preet. Yaha priti taha aise balakera reet. Nityai se prabhu tare kare maha preet. He would come so regularly. Every day he would come without fail. And Lord showed him great affection. Right? And Jagadanand, Damodar Pandit would tell him again and again, hey, kal se aane ka nahi tar. Aayega to marunga yahan par. Damodar Pandit would again and again dissuade. Bilkul kal se aane ka nahi yahan pe. But the child would come again. He would not accept Damodar Pandit's restrictions. You know? He would not accept. Why? Because Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, यहाँ प्रीत तहाँ ऐसे बालकेरा रीत. बोले बच्चों की तो रीत है, जहाँ प्रीत वहाँ बालक, बच्चा तो वहीं आएगा. जो भी बच्चे को प्रेम करेगा बालक तो उधर बार बार आएगा. दैट इज अ चाइल्ड, ही सेड द चाइल्ड विल नॉट एक्सेप्ट एनी यू नो दैट इज दैट इज वट एवर रिस्ट्रिक्शंस यू नो. So like that. So, but Damodar Pandit, then he became so, you know, agitated that he said, my Lord, now we understand, you know, what kind of teacher you are. You are teacher and you give Upadesh to everyone else, right? Anya Upadeshe Pandit Kahe Gosai Thai Gosai Gosai Ebe Janimu Gosai. He said, everyone says you are a great Gosai, you know, instructor, acharya. But what kind of acharya? Now we are able to see that. Gosai, Gosai. Eve jani mu Gosai. Now we understand. So it was a criticism, right? So then there also it is said, actually, he should have understood the position of the Lord and not criticized. It was inappropriate. But because he did, it was not an offense because the intentions were not to. It was a criticism which was not inappropriate, but it was not an offense because he did that out of love for the Lord and the Lord was satisfied. Although it was inappropriate, because there is an element of love, the Lord is satisfied. But still, the Lord pointed out the mistake. The Lord himself and Prabhupada and Acharyas, they have pointed out that Damodar Pandit, his behavior is not as per standard Vaishnava etiquette. He is violating the Vaishnava etiquette. But because of his love, he is satisfying the Lord also. He is very clearly mentioned the Lord was satisfied with his behavior. He was satisfied with the pure intentions. But then Lord pointed out there is a breach of etiquette. And Prabhupada also points out. So very similar thing over here. So Chitraketu Maharaj's intentions are very good. But there is some etiquette he breached. You know, he should have known that Lord Shiva is very exalted. He doesn't deserve to be criticized. One should not criticize him. You know. Okay. Now explaining another incident to you, which gives how then could have the situation been dealt. First of all, there are seniors, they could have corrected. If there were no senior, then once Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started running towards a liquor shop, shouting, Varuni, Varuni. He said, liquor. He said, give me, bring me this, you know. He assumed the mood of Lord Balaram and said, bring Varuni. And he started running toward liquor shop, you know, to take up all the liquor jar or water, drink, whatever. Shivas Thakur, he felt, caught the Lord and fell down his feet and said, my Lord, please don't do this. Please don't do this. People will actually criticize you. I will not be able to live. I will jump in the Ganga if you go ahead. You know, he said Lord like that. When the Lord said, you know, Shivas Thakur will jump into the Ganga and give up his life, then the Lord came to external senses immediately. And he said, yes, 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 I will not do anything, you know, against what you desire. So Shivas Thakur didn't criticize the Lord. You understand? Still he checked the Lord as a matter of duty, so that other people may not misunderstand. So you compare, you understand? So the great souls should not be criticized. They should not be criticized. That's a mistake that he criticized. Prabhupada says that. Prabhupada says in the fifth line of the purport, the most powerful cannot be criticized by an ordinary man or even by a great personality. The most powerful cannot be criticized by an ordinary man or even by a great personality. Chitraketu should have known that Lord Shiva, although sitting in this way, was not to be criticized. He should not have been criticized. The difficulty was that Chitraketu, having become a great devotee of Lord Vishnu, Sankarshan, was somewhat proud at having achieved Lord Sankarshan's favor and therefore thought that he could now criticize anyone, even Lord Shiva. So, Prabhupada is pointing out that there is some little pride in Chitraketu Maharaj. Now, again, remember that pride could have been given by the Lord himself also. Chitraketu Maharaj should not be, his position actually should not be minimized by this mistake. One should remain fixed in that siddhant. We pointed out in the first. Even though he criticized and made a mistake, his words were inappropriate, but his position can't be minimized with the associate of the Lord. That's another important aspect. The Vaishnavas of the Lord, they remain always exalted. We are only saying that there is a small mistake, this and that, only to so that we don't do it. But nothing, Chitragadu Maharaj, highly exalted personality, his position is not minimized by any small mistake. One should know that actually. So therefore, it has been seen sometime, even the great devotees, they may sometime commit some abominable act. Just like Lord Brahma did. He ran behind his own daughter, right? But even that abominable act doesn't minimize the position of, doesn't minimize the exalted position of the great souls, the pure devotees. So therefore, one should not think that one can pass loose comment on anybody. It happens, you know, many times a person has rendered 30, 40 years of intense devotional service. He has been actually blessed by the guru. He may land up in some trouble. And the junior thing, dekho kya hua bhakti mein? Jab thik se nahi karta hoga. What? You, you know. Yeah, some people may actually do that. I said, that is very offensive, actually. One should know that even great souls, they may make some abominable, they commit abominable act. They are not subject to criticism or being just. He said, you better mind your own, you know, bhakti. You just begun now and you are talking of person who has intensely served, who is actually going to go back home, back to Godhead. By the mercy of his guru. It's just that Krishna is taking him through some purification. So a mistake doesn't minimize the exalted position of the Vaishnavas. One should understand that. Right? One should remain fixed in that siddhant. So therefore they are not subject to criticism. Their position is always exalted. So Lord Shiva's position is always exalted. And even though Ketru Maharaj use in appropriate way, his position also is exalted. He should also not be criticized by anyone. His position is also exalted. Both are exalted Vaishnavas. Right? Yes. That's what I'm saying. It's the that mistake we are only saying mistake from their exalted position point of view. It is not actually a mistake, but from a social perspective, because it has been perceived like that by someone who is not so advanced, you know, or who is also very advanced, but he perceived in like that because inspired by the Lord. So we are just externally calling it a mistake actually. It is not a, in true sense, it is not a mistake. We already said, but still from a social perspective, in order to drive lesson, we are discussing it as a mistake. You know? Yeah. Because he criticized. He criticized the Lord. He should have known that Lord is not subject to criticism. Therefore, yeah. From pastime point of view, the Lord, he is only glorious. The pastime point of view, it only shows his love for the Lord. And the Lord glorifies him. He said, actually, one cannot follow religious principle unless one is neutral. You know, because you are neutral, you are protecting my religious principles also. From pastime point of view, it is all glorious. But from etiquette point of view, you know, which is also important consideration, the Vaishnava etiquette. So the etiquette point of view, it was inappropriate. Now we cannot minimize the position because in the great souls, that sometimes is inspired by the Lord himself. The Chitragadu Maharaj speaks like this. And Mother Parvati, although very exalted, she took an offense. She perceived in a wrong way. Lord Shiva perceived in a correct perspective. But Mother Parvati perceived in a little different way, you know, which again will be said to be her mistake for the lesson's sake. From pastime point of view, they all are exalted souls. You know? So therefore, their position is never minimized. Pastime point, we already described, Lord is actually inspiring Chitraketu Maharaj. Or the Lord inspired, we can say, Damodar Pandit to speak in that way, to show the glory of his devotee, and how neutral, you know, neutrality of Damodar Pandit is glorified by the Lord, like that. Right, so yes. So now Prabhupada says here that there was some kind of pride. Again, caution is not minimized. This manifestation of some pride is engineered by the Lord, etc. But it looks like Prabhupada says over here, the way he spoke, that there is some pride in the words of Chitraketu Maharaj. Therefore, he criticized Lord Shiva. This kind of pride in a devotee is never tolerated, Prabhupada says in the purport. Vaishnava should always be tanadapi shunichena tarorapi sahishuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Text 11. Shri Parvate Uvacha Ayam Kim Madhuna Loke Shasta Danda Dhara Prabhu Asmad Vidhanam Dushtanam Nirlajjanam Chaviprakret.
The Goddess Parvati said, "Alas, has this upstart now received a post from which to punish shameless persons like us? Has he been appointed ruler, carrier of the rod of punishment? Is he now the only master of everything?"
So Mother Parvati is saying, okay, you know, we are very dusht and we are nirlaj, you know, we are shameless people. But here comes the Supreme Court judge now. he will give proper punishment to all. You know, now recently he has been appointed. So again, Mother Parvati speaks in this in an angry way, you know, like that. Naveda dharmam kila padmayonir na brahma putra bhrigunarada dayat na vai kumara kapilo manuscha yeno nishedhyante ativartinam haram.
Alas, Lord Brahma, who has taken his birth from the lotus flower, does not know the principles of religion. Nor do the great saints like Bhrigu and Narad, nor the four Kumaras headed by Sanat Kumar. Manu and Kapila have also forgotten the religious principles. I suppose it to be because of this that they have not tried to stop Lord Shiva from behaving improperly.
Okay, so she says now religious principles are only known to Chitraketu, you know, this upstart she is calling. Only this upstart know the religious principle. Lord Brahma doesn't know religious principle. Narad Muni doesn't know. Bhrigu Muni doesn't know. Four Kumaras, all people were sitting there. So all the people sitting there, they are not knowing religious principles. Only he knows religious principles now, you know. So that's pointing out actually the mistake which we discussed, that he deserved to speak, you know. Other great assembly, they are not speaking. They could have spoken. Why is he speaking like this? You know? So that's a mistake we discussed.
Esha manuddheha padabja yugmam. Esha
Jagadguru Mangala Mangalam Swayam. Yashatra Bandhu Paribhuya Surin. Prashastidhishtastadayam Hidandya.
This Chitraketu is the lowest of Kshatriyas, for he has impudently overridden Brahma and other demigods by insulting Lord Shiva, upon whose lotus feet they always meditate. Lord Shiva is personified religion and spiritual master of entire world, and therefore Chitraketu must be punished.
Okay, so she calls Chitraketu as Kshatra Bandhu. And he speaks in this dhrashtas word is used impudent number of times. And he has been very impudent to speak like this. Right? Therefore, he deserves to be punished. And let's go ahead. Nayam marhati vaikuntha padamulopasarpanam Sambhavita mati stabda sadubhi paryupasitam.
This person is puffed up because of his achievements, thinking, I am the best. He does not deserve to approach the shelter of Lord Vishnu's lotus feet, which are worshipped by all saintly persons, for he is impudent, thinking himself greatly important.
Okay, so Mother Parvati is actually saying that actually a person who has so impudence, who lacks humility, he doesn't deserve to be seated at the Lord's lotus feet. And Prabhupada says, right? What she is saying is right. But it doesn't apply to Chitraketu Maharaj. You know, Prabhupada, many times you'll see the Siddhant being pointed out, Prabhupada says, yes, what she's saying is right. Doesn't mean it applies to Chitraketu Maharaj also. She's applying him. Prabhupada says, if a devotee thinks he's very much advanced in devotional service, he's considered puffed up and unfit to sit beneath the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. This is the generic Siddhant. If anyone is puffed up, that's the right Siddhant. But it doesn't mean Prabhupada is saying that actually Chitraketu Maharaj was like that. But Parvati Devi perceived him to be like that. It's her perception now. Okay? Mal Siddhant, she is speaking is right. Ataha papi yasim yonim asurim yahi durmate Yateha bhuyo mahatam nakarta putra kilbisham.
O impudent one, my dear son, now take birth in a low, sinful family of demons so that you will not commit such offense again towards exalted saintly persons in this world.
Okay, so now Mother Parvati, in angry mood, she actually first cursed. Atha papiyasim yunim asurim yahi durmate. She is calling him durmate, oh impudent. Go to the asuri yuni. But in the very verse, she tells, yateha bhuyo mahatam na karta putra kilbisham. She goes, oh my son. So actually, the mood of Mother Parvati change is different in the first two lines of the verse. In the next line, the mood changes. Right? Within the same verse, actually the mood has changed. So she cursed Chitraketu Maharaj, and then she immediately realized, actually I have cursed an innocent devotee. You know, she cursed him, but then she immediately realized, oh, actually I have cursed an innocent devotee of the Lord. She says, so don't do this again, oh my son. So the mercy came. She's trying to now make up, you know. Achha, kisi ko bahut daant diya ho, you know. And then she's actually, I should not have done so much. Okay, don't do this again, huh? So like that, you know. ओ माय सन डोंट डू दिस अगेन, यथेह भूयो महताम ना करता, ऐसा दोबारा मत करना पुत्र ओ माय सन. सो एक्चुअली यू नो शी गेट्स अ नो मर्सीफुल मदरली अफेक्शन. शी रियलाइज दैट इमीडिएटली आफ्टर क्रॉसिंग शी रियलाइज लुक मिस्टेक I made a mistake in cursing innocent devotee. That feeling came immediately to her heart. You know, actually, the Lord is you sometimes strongly feel a person has done a mistake and you criticize him, and when you see his demeanor, you realize actually mistake. You know, I have unjustly punished him, and then you try to make up. You know. That feeling immediately comes by seeing the demeanor of the person. So when Mother Parvati cursed, she immediately saw that he had a very gentle demeanor still. As soon as the curse is pronounced, but looking at Chitraketu Maharaj, she immediately realized, oh, I curse innocent devotee of the Lord. Oh, my son, don't do this again. There is a very gentle demeanor in the last two lines. Merciful demeanor. But she is very angry. Ataha papi asam yonim. Go to the asuri yoni. But Chitraketu Maharaj was not disturbed at all. You know. So therefore, she immediately realized that and spoke mercifully. Right? So, Prabhupada says, Mother Parvati was justified in punishing Chitraketu Maharaj, right? Because he committed a mistake, etc. She was justified. For Chitraketu impudently criticized the Supreme Father Mahadev, who is the father of the living entities conditioned within material nature. The goddess Durga is called Mother and Lord Shiva is called Father. A pure Vaishnava should be very careful to engage in a specific duty without criticizing others. This is the safest position. Okay, it's a very important lesson now. This is the lesson is, Prabhupada is speaking from the first two lines perspective of the verse. Yes, you know, she became angry, justified, you know, because he criticized. He made a mistake. Lord Shiva was not subject to criticism by him. Because of his mistake, because of his being harsh, and because he repeatedly criticized Lord Shiva. So therefore, Mother Parvati is justified. Right? And Prabhupada warns, he said, Prabhupada says very important lines. A pure Vaishnava should be very careful to engage in his specific duty. You do your duty, don't engage in criticism others. Even if it's a positive criticism, you know, sometimes when we say positive criticism, not with malice, it's not an offense. But still, better not to criticize parties positively also. So this is the safest position. Play safe. Remains in a safe position. Otherwise, if one tends to criticize others, he may commit the great offense. Even a positive criticism sometime may become offensive actually. Therefore, better not to criticize itself. Okay? So important, very important siddhant for practicing devotees. Okay? So now Vishwanatha Chakur Thakur says in this regard, however, her curse did not affect Chitraketu. Although she cursed, it did not affect Chitraketu. Rather, being born as Vritrasura increased his prema. Since the devotees at the level of prema do not consider any difference between obtaining a body of a devotee or demon. Also, after cursing, Mother Parvati realized the glory of Chitraketu Maharaj by his demeanor. Therefore, she immediately understood her mistake. Actually, if Chitraketu Maharaj is also if he would have become agitated, then Mother Parvati would not have realized her mistake, or then there may not have been a mistake, one can say. Mother Parvati realized the caliber of Chitraketu Maharaj that my God, such a Vaishnava. No, I committed a mistake. After the curse, seeing the demeanor, she realized that what a great Vaishnava. No, that feeling came. When Chitraketu Maharaj was not the slightly affected by, you know, such a very powerful curse, she realized the mistake at that point of time. You know? So therefore, very important lesson, actually humility is the greatest force. You can fight, you can debate, you can justify, you can argument, you can quote scriptures, nothing will actually can make a person realize his mistake as much as humility. But humility is the greatest force in this world. You know, if someone is wrong and you take shelter of humility, that person is immediately corrected. Instantly, just see. You know, Chitraketu Maharaj didn't quote, didn't justify, didn't speak a word, you know. It's very, very significant. Without speaking a word, Chitraketu Maharaj gave the greatest lesson to Parvati. Without speaking a word. Humility has that power actually. It's actually the greatest ornamental quality. It is the great strength of a Vaishnava. It is the most beautiful ornament. It is the great strength of a Vaishnava. And it is most pleasing to Krishna. Is humility. Therefore, humility is the pinnacle of all the best qualities. Right? So therefore, just by not reacting and just taking it, Chitraketu Maharaj actually made Mother Parvati realize her mistake immediately. Go to text 16. Evam shaptas chitraketur vimanadaruyasa prasadayamasa satim murdhananamrena bharata.
Shri Shukadeva Goswami continued. My dear King Parikshit, when Chitraketu was cursed by Parvati, he descended from his airplane, bowed before her with great humility, and pleased her completely.
Okay, Namrena, the humility of Chitraketu Maharaj actually won over in that sense. Okay, so we'll continue. You can. Chitraketu Maharaj will speak now and take a break of 10 minutes. Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Text 17 Chitraketur Uvacha Pratigrinami Te Shapam Atmano Anjilinambike Devair Martyaya Yat Proktam Purvadrishtam Hitasyatat
Chitraketu said, My dear mother, with my own hands folded together, I accept the curse upon me. I do not mind the curse, for happiness and distress are given by the demigods as a result of one's past deeds.
Okay, so immediately Chitraketu Maharaj accepts the curse. First thing is he immediately accepts it, you know, that acceptance actually doesn't come, you know. Something goes wrong in the life, you say, ah, he did this, I did wrong, he reacted wrong, and they didn't care, the system was not good. The mind will go 100 places, you know, that there is not a proper system, there should be proper check and balance, and there is not proper training of the people, people wrongly understood, you know, Chitraketu Maharaj, so training hona chahiye tha, Mother Parvati, you know, she, people, I say something, people misunderstand, you know, there is no good training, you know, people have, so like that, there, you see, the accepting that this curse actually is fitting and I deserve it is very difficult. This acceptance doesn't come. Uska galti hai, iska galti hai, system ka galti hai. You know, iskon mein GVC, iska hi, every sub level pe galti hai. You know, we go here, there, you know, everywhere. Can't accept that what has happened is actually due to, I deserve it, it's my responsibility. I alone am responsible for this. So we actually, you see the how mind, you know, works. Even when you are dealt with in some way, sometimes someone spoke harshly or you're punished or something, you know, it was, you got a disease, was not handled properly, the disease became more, you know, then what will you think, you know, mere ko samay se hospital leke gaye, you know, the doctors or the hospital leke gaye to और भक्तिदान हॉस्पिटल यू नो देखे गए डॉक्टर वहाँ इतने अभी अच्छे नहीं हैं यू नो आई वुड हैव टेकन अ बेटर हॉस्पिटल और डिजीज शुड हैव बीन डायग्नोस्ड बिफोर यू नो सो यू विल सी यू गॉट सम डिजीज यू विल सी प्रॉब्ली दिस और प्रॉब्ली यू नो द किचन वाले क्या क्या बनाते हैं मालूम नहीं यू नो उनकी वजह से हुआ यू नो बिकॉज डाइट इज नॉट प्रॉपर एटसेट्रा यू नो Every mind will give you 100 reasons except this one which Chitraketu Maharaj gave the very first place. That is the difference. You know, that's Chitraketu Maharaj so exalted. This reason doesn't come, the mind doesn't accept it. All 100 and 1000 reasons will come. You know, itna pollution ho gaya, food is contaminated, everything is wrong, you know. The whole world is wrong except you know, I don't accept that actually I deserved this because of my own past karma. Purvadishtam hitasyatat. He said, oh, I accept your curse and I don't blame you. You know, that you misunderstood me or you became unduly angry. I will not blame you, he says. I accept this curse knowing that this has come to me because of my own past work. Because my own past activity, this has come to me, Chitraketu Maharaj. Very first thing. So, other things, other perspective, can be there sometimes in order to, you know, for some making some policy, this and that, you know, etc. But for a personal perspective should be this one, the very first one. That actually, so that one should know for sure that nothing can happen to me, no one in this world has the power to do any harm to me unless there is my own past activities actually come back to me. Other people only acting as instrument. One should know that for sure. Therefore, not find fault with so many factors, you know. Right? Except one's own self. So very nicely, Chitraketu Maharaj, very first reaction. Purvadishtam, he said, Pratiganahami te shapam, Atmano. You know, it's my own responsibility. He takes the complete responsibility of the curse upon himself. Very amazing, actually. Right? And although he takes the responsibility of the curse upon himself, because he knows that he had no offensive, or he didn't think that he is better at sense control than Lord Shiva, what Mother Parvati pointed out. He didn't have those intentions, any harm. Therefore, he considered the punishment even to be a greater mercy. See, if I have done something wrong, you know, I accept immediately, yes, I wrong and it's been punished. It's a mercy. It's a mercy that punishment has come to me so fast because I was wrong and my wrong will be corrected. But if I know that I was not wrong, then I am punished. Then one should consider it to be even a greater mercy actually. That is Vaishnava perspective. That Chitraketu Maharaj will take that perspective. Actually, he knows he is not wrong, but he has been punished. He considers that to be a greater mercy. That means now it is a special arrangement. It's the Lord's intervention now. That is a greater mercy actually. Okay, so now if you see, now the ball goes to another court. You know, the wheels turns now. Now, on all the purpose, Prabhupada will say, just look, you know, Maharaj Chitraketu is actually Tanad Vishuni China. And now Mother Parvati. now the mistake comes upon Mother Parvati. Now the lessons from her thing. Now, earlier it was said, you know, Mother Parvati justified. Look how harshly he's speaking. He's criticizing Lord Shiva. I said, nahin bolna chahiye, and all that, you know. But now after his response, you know, that proves that he's a great Vaishnava. Now the wheels turn and Mother Parvati is now in focus. And Chitraketu Maharaj is praised again and again. While Mother Parvati, she is criticized. Again, it's a positive criticism in that sense. That she should not have cursed like this. You know, the wheel has turned. So this is the power of humility, you know. This is the power of humility. Chitraketu Maharaj reaction to the curse was very glorious. Prabhupada now only start appreciating. What Prabhupada is saying, you know, Chitraketu Maharaj became puffed up. You should not have been. Vaishnava should be Tanad Bishuni Chena. Prabhupada says that, we let that. Now Prabhupada says actually Chitraketu Maharaj is actually Tanad Bishuni Chena from this response. Right. So Prabhupada says he knew that he had not committed any offense at the lotus feet of the Lord. This is the fourth line of the purport. He knew he had not committed any offense at the lotus feet of Lord Shiva or Goddess Parvati, yet he had been punished. And this means that the punishment has been ordained. This is higher mercy. Thus the king did not mind it. A devotee is naturally so humble and meek that he accepts any condition of life. Right? So now Prabhupada praises Chitraketu Maharaj. He is so humble and meek. He just accepted this condition of life. Right? And Prabhupada continues, a devotee is always accept punishment from anyone at the mercy of the Lord. If he has made a mistake, it's a mercy. If he has not made a mistake, or his mistake was very less, still the punishment is very much. It's a special mercy. Like that. On the contrary, he becomes increasingly attached, Prabhupada says now. when such a thing happens, you know, he has been punished, etc., when the reverse takes place, reverses, what happens, what is devotee? By that punishment, he becomes increasingly attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead because of his being purified by his suffering. Suffering, therefore, is also a process of purification. Okay, now another very important point. Now, Vishwanatha Thakur and Prabhupada both say that actually the Lord is so kind to his devotee that there is no karma for the devotee. First of all, now Chitraketu Maharaj is saying that it is because of his own previous karma. And we say, yes, actually every devotee should think in this way. You know, any reverse happen, it has become our own karma. But look, wait. Krishna has already destroyed the karma. Even at the beginning of sadhana bhakti, Krishna has destroyed the karma. So then why a devotee is encouraged to think that it is because of my karma? Hey, karma has been destroyed. This is incorrect. Someone says, this is an incorrect way of thinking. Karmani nirdhati kintu ja bhakti bhajam. Bhaktlo karte sadhana bhakti says bhi Krishna destroys the karma. But every devotee is encouraged to think that reverse has taken place in my life because of karma. So why like this? Why should a devotee think like this when that's not the right way of thinking? Yes, that's a good answer. Okay. Yes, both are in the same line. So, a devotee should feel like this out of humility. So, yes, a devotee should accept that Krishna destroys the karma of his devotees, but I am not his devotee. Therefore, I am reaping the result of my karma. Although Krishna destroys the karma of his devotees. Right? So, like that. So, that's a humble way of thinking, which is most appropriate for a devotee. Okay, so Vishwanatha Thakur has given again a very beautiful purport. He says, in the Lord's purpose herein, you know, the Lord's purpose in this particular pastime, in order to announce the great strength of the devotees, seeing equally curses, blessings, swarga, liberation, and hell. The Lord wanted to announce the great strength of the devotee who can see curses, blessings, swarga, narka, and apavarga to be equal. In order to remove the improper life of Chitraketu as the leader of Vidyadharas. Although in that life he was able to glorify the Lord, but still it was not the best to serve Krishna. The Lord wanted to remove that situation. In order to increase Chitraketu's hunger for prema by the fire of separation, he had developed prema, but there is a development of prema. His prema was enhanced thousands of times by accepting the body of a demon. In order to bestow the enjoyment of great sweetness of direct service to his lotus feet in Vaikuntha, the Lord, out of fatherly affection for Chitraketu, inspired Devi to curse him. That is the conclusion. Okay? This is the ultimate conclusion of this particular episode. But the intermediate lessons we are learning, which are important for us. Text 18. Samsara chakra etasmin janturagyana mohita namyam sukham cha dukham cha bhunkte sarvatra sarvada.
Deluded by ignorance, the living entity wanders in the forest of this material world, enjoying the happiness and distress resulting from his past deeds, everywhere and at all the times. Therefore, my dear mother, neither you nor I am to be blamed for this incident.
Right, so he's saying samsara chakra etasmin jantur gyan mohita. So Siddhagata Maharaj said, actually, you know, in this samsara, this is the nature of the samsara. In samsara chakra, a jiva jantur agyan mohita, being bewildered by ignorance, samsara chakra is going. So sometimes he is happy, sometimes he is in distress. Saying this is the nature of the wheel of samsara, therefore you are not to be blamed. This is the nature, the wheel of samsara. Okay? Living entity indefinitely meets happiness, distress, which come to him by his own activities. And it will come. How? Chitraketu Maharaj will say something very, even a higher distant he gives. First of all, he says that you are not responsible, I am responsible. But then he will say something higher. He said, actually, not even you are responsible, or not even I am responsible. This sukha dukha just comes in this world. Actually, none of us are responsible. This is a higher understanding. We'll see how. First he says, in this world, whatever reverses come, I accept it because of my own karma. You're not to be blamed. My own karma has come. But then he says, actually, the higher understanding is, you're also not responsible, I am also not responsible. We both are not responsible of this sukha and dukkha. Right? We'll see how is that. Because prakrite kriyamanani gunakarmani sarvasha. Right? Okay, text 19. Naivatmana parashchapi karta syat sukha dukkhayo kartaram manyate tragya atmanam paramevacha.
In this material world, neither the living entity himself nor other friends and enemies are the cause of material happiness and distress. But because of gross ignorance, the living entity thinks that he and others are the cause.
Even I am not the cause actually of this dukkha that is coming. Right? You are not the cause, I am also not the cause. How is this? Now, how you compare the two perspectives? You say, look, tatenu kamban susumikshimana bhunjad evatma kritam. Whatever I have committed wrong is coming to me. You thought, actually, I am also not the cause. Only in ignorance think he is the cause, or I am the cause. That is also ignorance. Considering I am the cause is also ignorance. How is that? Okay, what else? How do you understand? I am not the cause actually. This is a higher understanding than the previous one. He gives a higher understanding, higher perspective. How he is also not the cause? Okay, the modes are acting, he is not the cause, the modes are causing the happiness and distress. Yes, so basically He said, even I am not the cause, because the happiness and distress is only so-called perception of the mind, just like in a dream. Remember that. That's a higher understanding. He said, it's just the mind influenced by the modes only perceives happiness and distress. There is no factual happiness and distress in this world. Happiness or distress is just perceived in a dream. No factual. If there is no factual happiness and distress, then where is the question of finding who is the cause? Who is the cause? It's a higher perspective. This is actually, I am also not the cause. This is creation of the mind, this happiness and distress. बोले कैसे हुआ कैसे हुआ फिर हुआ ही कुछ नहीं पहले तो यू नो समवन इज बिजी यू नो हाउ दिस हैपन हाउ दिस हैपन नथिंग हैज हैपन यू टेल हिम फर्स्ट शांत हो जाओ कुछ नहीं हुआ माइंड परसेप्शन देयर नो फैक्चुअल हैप्पीनेस एंड डिस्ट्रेस दिस अ स्पिरिचुअल प्लेटफॉर्म नाउ ओके दिस अ स्पिरिचुअल प्लेटफॉर्म नाउ एंड अ स्पिरिचुअल पर्सन हु कैन टेक दैट स्पिरिचुअल ट्रांसेंडेंटल प्लेटफॉर्म ही अंडरस्टैंड द Dukkha and Dukkha are actually not factual in this world, right? So this, he, you know, he takes this higher perspective, Chitraketu Maharaj. Yes. Of the salt mine. Yes. Yeah, so actually, yeah. Look, so the dualities are perceived by the mind. Okay, the happiness and distress. But in general, like people may say, I am happy, I am unhappy, etc. You know, in this world, because this is good, this is bad. This is all perception of the mind. Actually, this material world is only miserable. You're only perceiving dualities. Your perception is of dualities. But actually, if someone says, I am happy, he said, look, this, you took birth, you know, suffered so much, you want to grow old. Inherent nature of this world is dukhalayam. But now you, being carried by the modes, is perceiving some situation. The happiness and difference, as we perceive, is the mind's creation, sankalpa and vikalpa of the mind. But inherently, this is this. So a devotee is situated, he is beyond happiness and distress. But he is situated in spiritual bliss. So there is absolute happiness and there is, in this material world, is absolute distress in that sense. The nature of this world is a distress. That person is the material world, that's it shows this is a dukhalayam. Because there is a birth, old age, disease and death. Yeah. Yes, in that sense, that is true. At a deeper level. First understand the level of the mind. Mind perceives happiness and distress. You know, when actually it is not there. So then we go to next deeper level. So just like one example is given. Suppose kitchen example I'll give you. You make a sambar in the kitchen. The South Indians are very happy. Sambar today. North Indians, they are very in great distress. You know, what is this sambar today? So the same thing in this world causes happiness and distress. Actually, if you analyze, in general, if you ask, you know, someone, you're happy, what has happened? You will see it's created by the sankalpa or vikalpa of the mind. You know, there is a lot of heat. Oh, people are unhappy because of the their perception. But a person who sells ice cream, he's very happy by the heat, you know. You know, the ice cream, like here also some people sell ice cream. They're very happy. So the same heat is actually causing happiness and distress. The same sambar is causing happiness and distress among different people. That's how they perceive. In general, if you see. Similarly, actually there is no factual happiness and distress because this material body is non-factual. This material world is non-factual. In that sense. So the mind identifies with the material world it creates. Therefore it perceives even the old age and the disease is perceived actually by the mind because this material world itself is non-factual. Right? So So we are going deeper. First we understand the sankalpa vikalpa, the mind, everything people, in general people, happiness, distress, perceive the mind. Deeper level, even the birth, old age, there is also, it's inherent distress, but it's actually also a perception, because material world is not factual. Understood? It's so like that. But the spiritual happiness is a fact. Right? Yes. Because it's temporary. It's temporarily created, therefore it's not factual. Yeah, there is no suffering. That's a spiritual platform. For the soul, there is no suffering. For the soul, there is no suffering. That's a spiritual platform. Only a person with a spiritual platform can see actually for the soul is no suffering. It's all creation of the mind. Right? So in the mode of goodness, we can see how the mind creates happiness and distress. Just like, you know, I have sankalpa and vikalpa of the mind within this world. This is good, this is bad. Oh, I am happy by this, I am distressed by that. The changing conditions, sankalpa, vikalpa, right? By the mode of goodness, one can understand that. But on a spiritual platform, one can understand the whole the creation inherent, even the birth, old, disease, that is actually ultimately not factual misery. No, mode of goodness means you can see the things in a true perspective, in the mode of goodness. You know, so in the mode of goodness, at least you can realize, and it gives you the knowledge, the right knowledge, that I can see that how the so-called happy and distress in this world is due to my mind's perception. Therefore, even the different bodies I am taking, the whole world is similarly actually created by the mind. The creation of the mind. The samsara is, all the different bodies are created by the mind. In response to the conditioned soul desire, the mind is created, and then the whole creation also actually has been done to satisfy the conditioned soul desire. The mind has been given. Right? So therefore it's said many times, you know, the mind is the cause of the conditioned soul want to enjoy, so all the facility has been created. Right? So that then one can gradually understand that also. Okay, so which verse? Yeah, 20. He explains what he says in 19. Guna pravaha etesmin. Kaha shapa konvanugraha. Kaha swarga narko kova. Kim sukham dukham evava.
This material world resembles the waves of a constantly flowing river. Therefore, what is a curse and what is a favor? What are the heavenly planets and what are the hellish planets? What is actually happiness and what is actually distress? Because the waves flow constantly, none of them has an eternal effect.
Okay. Guna pravaha etesmin. A very transcendental perspective. Ko shapa, kon vanugraha. So what is the difference between shapa and this? Can you imagine if you tell Indra, ko swargo narko ko va? Look, there is no difference between Swarga and Narka. You know, Indra has done so many sacrifices, he sent so many apsaras to make so many rishis fall down. You know, there are so many stories, you know. But you tell Indra, ko Swargo Narko Kova. Indra is a devotee, but he can't understand this point. Ko Swargo Narko Kova. It's a very high level of understanding. You know, it's not easy actually to say that Swarga and Narka, there is no difference between Swarga and Narka. Right? It's a very high level, it's a spiritual platform, because for a spirit soul this, none of these conditions actually matter. Right? So he said actually they are the same, because in this material world nowhere there is bhakti to the Lord, no there will be conception of eternal principle of bhakti, the same. The same, because everywhere devoid of Krishna, devotees see every place is the same, basically. And if he has to do service to Krishna, then also it is the same. Both ways. Right? So it's both places are devoid of Krishna, whether Narka and Swarka, you know. But he has some service to do, for him the same, because he is able to do service. Right? He's connected with Krishna. Right? Guru Pravaha Etesmin. So all the gunas, you know, they create this conception of this is a very good condition, you know, this is a benediction and this is a curse. You know, for a self-realized person there is no difference between the two. Right? So Prabhupada says in the end of the purport, when one comes to his senses, that means one realizes the transcendental platform. Right? When one wakes up, comes to his senses means when one wakes up to spiritual realization, when he becomes Krishna conscious, he is no longer concerned with the various conditions of this material world. He is not concerned with happiness or distress, curses or favors, or heavenly or hellish planets. He sees no distinction between them. He sees no distinction between them in terms of his happiness and distress. But remember, we were discussing and Subal Pranand Prabhu asked the question. Vritrasura was very eager to give up the body because that body was obstacle. Remember, Vritrasura spirit. So in terms of service to Krishna, devotee accepts what is favorable and what is not. So he understood this demon body is not a favorable. So any circumstance, so distinction is made for the service of the Lord. But not in terms of one's happiness and distress. Right? So the body of the Lord was not a... So Lord also understood, you know, he's in the Chitraketu Maharaj, the king of the Vidyadharas and all that. This is not the best condition. Let me give him a better condition for increasing his prema and service for me. Right? So in those terms, distinctions are made. Spiritual distinctions are there, you know. One should not jump to the Mayavadi conclusion. You know? But in terms of one's happiness and distress, which is just by the perception of the mind, a devotee doesn't make distinctions. But in terms of service, distinctions are there. We'll discuss that. I'll try to think and discuss that and maybe, you know, because I have to complete this chapter today. Eka sajati bhutani bhagwan atma mayaja esham bandham cha moksham cha sukham dukham cha nishkala.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead is one, unaffected by the conditions of the material world. He creates all the conditioned souls by his own personal potency. Because of being contaminated by the material energy, the living entity is put into ignorance and thus into different conditions of bondage. Sometimes by knowledge, the living entity is given liberation. In Sattvaguna and Rajaguna, he is subjected to happiness and distress.
So, Prabhupada says, the question may be raised, why the living entities are situated in different conditions of life? Right? Even the scripture talks of, you know, terms of, although we are saying it's not factual, but the scripture talks in terms of sukha and dukkha, auspicious and inauspicious, is not? Scripture talks in terms of that. Right? So, the question may be raised, why the living entity is situated in different conditions of life and who arranges it? The answer is that it has been done by the Supreme Personality of Godhead without anyone's help. Right? The Lord creates this. Said, all these conditions are created by the Lord, which are not a fact actually, non-factual condition. Why they are created? For the continuation of samsara. That will be the next verse. All these conditions are created by the Lord Himself. You know, the scripture talks, this is auspicious, this is not auspicious. This will bring happiness to conditioned soul, this will bring misery to conditioned soul. While in this material world, everything is not a factual thing. But all these conditions are created by the Lord out of His mercy for the continuation of samsara. Living identity for facilitation of samsara, actually. For facilitation of samsara. You know, because the living entities have to facilitate it in this way, and then they have to gradually come out of the samsara. Natasya kaschid daita pratipo. Nagyati bandhur na paro na chaswa. Na samasya sarvatra niranjanasya. Sukhe na ragaha kutue varoshaha.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead is equally disposed towards all living entities. Therefore, no one is very dear to Him and no one is a great enemy for Him. No one is His friend and no one is His relative. Being unattached to the material world, He has no affection for so-called happiness or hatred for so-called distress. The two terms happiness and distress are relative. Since the Lord is always happy, for Him there is no question of distress.
So one should understand that many times it is said, the Lord is beyond happiness, distress, He has no favorites. Right? Doesn't mean actually like an impersonal way one should understand. The Lord is beyond the dualities caused by the three modes of material nature. In this world, all the dualities are guna pravaha etismin. For the force of the gunas, the dualities are created. But the Lord is beyond all the dualities. But it doesn't mean He doesn't experience happiness. The spiritual platform, the Lord experiences great joy to see when the conditioned soul perform devotional service to Him. Lord become happy actually. And seeing the conditioned souls averse to Him, the Lord feels distress. So these, whenever there is a negation of duality, it is the duality is created by the three modes. Right? But there are spiritual distinction. There is a happiness and distress on the spiritual platform also. All the emotions exist in their purified form. You know? Like that. Tathapita shakti visarga esham sukhaya dukkhaya hitahitaya ahitahitaya bandaya mokshaya cha mrityu janmano sharirinam samsritaye vikalpate.
Although the Supreme Lord is unattached to our happiness and distress according to karma, and although no one is His enemy or favorite, He creates pious and impious activities through the agency of His material potency. Thus, for the continuation of the materialistic way of life, He creates happiness and distress, good fortune and bad, bondage and liberation, birth and death.
Okay. So, although the Supreme Lord is beyond, but still He creates all these dualities in this world, right? For the continuation of materialistic way of life, right? And He creates means He creates through His material potency. So Supreme Lord is not directly involved in the workings of material nature. That one should understand. Many times people tend to blame the Lord directly when some catastrophe happens. Say, Bhagwan aisa kyun kiya? You know, pura unko hi katghare mein khada kar dete hain. So look, this is the workings of the material nature, you know. Living entity is subject to material nature and material nature is working. The Lord is not directly responsible for it. The Lord is not directly responsible for it. Right? Text 24. अथ प्रसादयेन त्वाम् शापमोक्षाय भामिनी यन्मन्यसे असाधुकृतं स असाधुक्तं मम तत् क्षम्यतां सति.
ओ मदर, यू आर नाउ अननेसेसरली एंग्री, बट सिंस ऑल माय हैप्पीनेस एंड डिस्ट्रेस आर डिस्टर्ब्ड बाय माय पास्ट एक्टिविटीज, आई डू नॉट प्लीड टू बी एक्सक्यूज्ड और रिलीव्ड फ्रॉम योर कर्स. Although what I have said is not wrong, please let whatever you think is wrong be pardoned.
Okay, so Chitrakirti Maharaj very gently saying that Bhamini means, oh angry, oh my angry mother. Ath prasade natvam shap mokshaya, I am trying to please you not to be freed from the curse. Right? I am trying to please you not from the curse. Because yan manase hi asaduktam, because you considered my word to be asadhu. So implied is actually I didn't intend to criticize Lord Shiva or intend to speak the way you perceived it. But yan manase, but still you consider, so therefore I accept. Yan manase hai asaduktam, you considered my word to be asadhu, I accept it. Mam tat shammyatam sati, therefore please forgive me. Okay? So very gentle. Shri Shuka uvacha iti prasadya girisho चित्रकेतुररिन्दम जगामसो अभिमानेन पश्यतो स्मयतोस्तयो.
देव गोस्वामी कंटिन्यूड, ओ किंग परीक्षित, सबड्यूअर ऑफ द एनिमी, आफ्टर चित्रकेतु सैटिस्फाइड लॉर्ड शिवा एंड हिज वाइफ पार्वती, ही बोर्डेड हिज एयरप्लेन एंड लेफ्ट एज दे लुक्ड ऑन. व्हेन लॉर्ड शिवा एंड पार्वती सॉ दैट चित्रकेतु, ऑल्दो इन्फॉर्म्ड ऑफ द कर्स, वॉज अनअफ्रेड, they smiled, being fully astonished by his behavior.
Okay, so now Lord Shiva resumed his smile. Mother Parvati was very angry, you know, so then Lord Shiva was not smiling at that point of time, you know. And it would not be, if Lord Shiva would have instructed her before, you know, to say anything, she would not have accepted that, you know. Because when women are enraged, no one can calm them. In general, in this world, it has been seen, you know. Especially when a wife, you know, she becomes enraged at sexual husband. Husband has no power to stop her. Usually it has been seen. But now that Mother Parvati saw the behavior of Chitraketu Maharaj, now Lord Shiva will instruct her what he could not do before. Now she has directly witnessed. Therefore, now Lord Shiva will instruct Mother Parvati very beautifully. So Lord Shiva speaks amazingly beautiful. Tatastu Bhagavan Rudro Rudranim idam abravet Devarshi Datya Siddhanam Parshadanam Jashinvatam.
Thereafter, in the presence of the great sage Narada, the demons, the inhabitants of Siddhaloka, and his personal associates, Lord Shiva, who is most powerful, spoke to his wife Parvati while they all listened.
So Lord Shiva also, he actually corrects Mother Parvati, but one can say, you know, you not have done that again in the Sabha, you know. Apni वाइफ को थोड़ा करेक्ट करना है तो चुपके से एक साइड में ले जाके करना चाहिए. ऐसा सब सभा में इतने बड़े सेज ऋषि बैठे हैं, सबके सामने ही लॉर्ड शिवा करेक्शन करने लगे. एक्चुअली लॉर्ड शिवा करेक्टेड हर वेरी सेंसिटिव वे. ही जस्ट ग्लोरीफाइड चित्रकेतु महाराज. मदर पार्वती अपने लेसन खुद ही सीख गई. सो ही डिडंट डायरेक्टली पॉइंटेड आउट मदर पार्वती मिस्टेक. मदर पार्वती बिगैन रियलाइजिंग हर मिस्टेक बाय चित्रकेतु महाराज demeanor, that he didn't react it, just took it very without any agitation, you know, very gratefully he took up Right? So by seeing that, Mother Parvati already began to realize. But Lord Shiva glorified Chitrakutu Maharaj further. And that further made Mother Parvati realize her mistake. Right? So that's the way Lord Shiva made Mother Parvati. Shri Rudra Uvacha. Drishtavatte Asi Sushroni. Hare Radbhuta Karmana. Mahatmayam Bhritya Bhityanam. Nisfrihanam Mahatmanam.
Lord Shiva said, "My dear beautiful Parvati, have you seen the greatness of the Vaishnavas? Being servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari, they are great souls and are not interested in any kind of material happiness."
So, Lord Shiva is saying, Dishtvayate, O Mother Parvati, just see, that's Prabhupada. Prabhupada would use this term so many times, just see. Prabhupada said in the middle of the purport, just see. Drishtvate Asi Shushroni, O my dear beautiful wife, although you excel in beauty, but you don't excel in bhakti like Chitraketu Maharaj. You excel in beauty, but he excel in bhakti. Lord Shiva is pointing out indirectly, right, by calling her, oh beautiful Parvati. आप मेकअप अच्छा करती हैं, लेकिन आपका हृदय इतना शुद्ध नहीं जैसे चित्रकेतु महाराज का है. मेकअप सब अच्छा किया है, सो काइंड ऑफ इज अ जेस्ट. लॉर्ड शिवा ऑल्सो ही कॉल्स हर वेरी ब्यूटिफुल, बट एज फार एज हार्ट इज कंसर्न, चित्रकेतु महाराज श्योरली एक्सेल्स यू. वॉन्ट्स टू पॉइंट आउट हरे अद्भुत कर्मणा. Right? First of all, he calls just look at this Mahatma Chitraketu. Dekho Bhagwan ke Mahatma jo bhakt hai unki mahima ko dekho. Look at the greatness of the devotees. Right? And he calls this greatness as Hare Radbhut Karmana. The Lord performs wonderful activities. I am just witnessing a wonderful activity of the Lord. The Lord has just demonstrated a very nice, wonderful activity by showing how indifferent his devotees are to so-called happiness and distress, so-called curse and blessing, so-called swarga and narka, so-called demigod body or a demon body. Totally different. Such is the glory of the devotees of the Lord. Mahatmyam, right? Mahatmyam. Just see the Mahatmyam of the Mahatmanas. Right? Mahatmyam bolte na, Mahatmyam means iska, what is the greatness of this particular. So therefore this sloka is saying, look at the Mahatmyam of the Mahatmanas, the great souls. Right? So it's a very poetically also very. And Bhritya Bhritya Naam, Lord says, look at the greatness of the servant of the servant. So Narad Muni is the servant of the Lord. Chitraketu Maharaj is his servant. Right? Look at the greatness of the servant of the servant. Nisfriha Naam, they have no material ambition. Therefore, the Lord has demonstrated Hare Radbhut Karmana. Lord has demonstrated this great Adbhut pastime just now in front of us through Maharaj Chitraketu. So Lord Shiva very beautifully glorifies Chitraketu Maharaj. Right? And Lord Shiva also says, actually, you curse him, but by his exalted behavior, he nullified your curse. If someone speaks harshly, you expect that person will become agitated. No, Mother Parvati said, I have given you punishment. But he says, Swarga Narka is the same for me. Punishment reward is the same for me. That means the curse took place. If he's in the same situation, tum kolo isko sikhata hon isko, aisa, I'll put him in a situation where he'll suffer. But he says, both situations are the same for me. So, Lord Shiva points out, just see Your curse has been nullified by his exalted behavior. Where is the curse? Right? When he says, Kim sorgam narakam kova, kim sukham dukham eva va. Abhi curse kaha reha gaya phir? That means, kim karsam ashirvadam va. You know? Abhi curse ashirvad mere liye same hi hai. You know? Quite amazing, you know? By his, he transcended actually Mother Parvati's curse, Mahachitraketu. Therefore, Lord Shiva is saying, you know, just see the greatness of the devotees. Aap curse ki lekin hua kuch nahi. You know? Right? So, Vishnu Thakur is writing, if the curse you uttered in anger cannot give him the slightest unhappiness, then your curse is powerless. Right? So it's a very beautiful, you know, siddhanta given over here. So therefore Chitrakam Maharaj is very exalted devotee. And Lord Shiva speaks this most beautiful verse now. Narayana para sarve nakutashchan bhibhyate swargapavarga narakeshu apitulyarthadarshinaha.
Devotee is solely engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana. Never fear any condition of life. For them the heavenly planets, liberation and the hellish planets are all the same. For such devotees are interested only in the service of the Lord.
Very exalted position. Narayana para. Remember, Chitraketu Maharaj, these devotees are very rare actually. Narayana para. Those who are Narayana parayanas, remember we studied, he says, among 90 million Narayan ayanas, among 90 million devotees who take shelter of the Lord, and among how many million sages? 70 million sages, hardly there is one Narayan parayana. That is Chitraketu Maharaj. You know? Otherwise, Swarga Bhavarga Narakeshu, what is the difference between the two? It's too much, you know. Like, just imagine, you know, there is an AC room and there is a room which is very hot, and we ask all of you, say, ki haan Bhagavatam class ki jaye. Can anyone say, dono same hi hai? You know, even a slight material duality affects us. We are talking of Swarga and Narka, you know. It's of two extreme. We can say that both are same. Hai, Prabhu, jahan bolenge, baith jayenge hum. AC room is good, you know. AC room is better. For sure, you know. To transcend, to come to the platform where there makes no difference between Swarga and Narka is a very high platform. The Narayana para devotee. Chitraketu Maharaj is very exalted, supremely exalted. It's not easy actually. Narayana para sarve na kutaschan bhibhyati. He didn't fear, you know, it may be a very fearful condition. Born as a demon. You know, it's no ordinary thing actually. It's like we fear even a small, you know, bimar na pad jaun, you know, I fear, you know. Going to the hellish planets, you know, ko sarga narka, going to narka where there is intense pain. And we fear in small pain also. To say that ko sargo narko kova is actually beyond our power to, you know, it will be too artificial also, you know. You know, too artificial. But that is the level of Chitraketu Maharaj. Therefore, Lord Shiva is glorifying him. Ko sargo narko kova. Right? Because Lord Shiva is also saying, sarga povraga narkeshu api tulyarth darshina na kutashyan bhibhati. There is no condition which is fearful for them. Okay. So their only interest in Prabhupada says they are simply interested in giving direct service to the Lord. Apitulya Ardarsh. In any condition, they will serve the Lord. 29. Dehi Nam Deha Samyogad Dondanishwara Leelaya sukham dukham mritir janma shapo nagraha evacha.
Because of the actions of the Supreme Lord's external energy, the living entities are conditioned in contact with material bodies. The dualities of happiness and distress, birth and death, curses and favors are natural byproducts of this contact in the material world.
Okay. So, it's the external energy of the Lord which conditions the living entity, give this material body, and then there is a perception of these dualities. Right? So, in one sense, Lord Shiva is telling that, you know, material energy, you are material energy personified, you know, you create these dualities, but he is beyond actually the dualities created by you. Maharaj Chitraketu is beyond. Look, Lord Shiva is saying, look, he is beyond you, you know. You want him to create, you make him unhappy by giving a curse, but he is beyond the curse and benediction. Prabhupada says that actually, so material energy is very powerful, right? We know that. Prabhupada says here, where is that? That Lord Shiva, just by remaining silent, I am not able to find, that just by remaining silent, taking shelter, you know, by acting on the platform of humility, yes, here, Prabhupada says, this is the purport of 27. Indirectly, Lord Shiva forbade Parvati to commit the mistake of cursing a devotee like Chitraketu. He indicated that although she was powerful, the king, without showing any power, has excelled her powers by his tolerance. Right? So the king excelled his powers. He is very powerful, Mother Durga. But the king's power is even greater than hers. Right? So the humility, the power of his humility and tolerance is glorified. Text 30. Avivek kritapumso hi artha bhedi vatmani guna dosha vikalpascha mid eva sajivat krita.
As one mistakenly considers a flower garland to be a snake or experiences happiness and distress in a dream, so in the material world, by a lack of careful consideration, we differentiate between happiness and distress, considering one good and the other bad.
Okay, so Lord Shiva is saying that how in this world, avivek krita pumso, the artha bhed, this is good, right? This is very valuable and this is valueless, artha bhed. What is that? This is due to avivek krita. Less intelligent people, not situated in, doesn't have the knowledge of the eternality of the soul. They create, this is all manodharma, created by the mind. And we discuss in detail about that. Dvaite bhadra bhadra jnana sab manu dharm ehi bhala ehi manda ehi sab bhram. Right? Dvaite. Dvaite means the world of duality. Bhadra bhadra jnana. This is good. This is bad. This is all manu dharm, creation of the mind. Therefore, this is all illusory. Ehi sab bhram. Third one. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Mudvahatam Ninam Jnana Vairagya Viryanam Nahi Kaschid Vipashreya.
Persons engaged in devotional service to Lord Vasudeva Krishna have naturally perfect knowledge and detachment from this material world. Therefore, such devotees are not interested in the so-called happiness, the so-called distress of this world.
Okay, so by rendering devotional service, very similar verse, Prabhupada quotes Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayate Ashu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayadha Hetukam. Right? So Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Udvatam Nirnam Jnana Vairagya Viryanam. Viryanam means the power, the strength. So Lord is saying just by rendering bhakti to Vasudeva, here Sukhdev Goswami is speaking. Lord Shiva is speaking. So Lord Shiva is saying, just by rendering bhakti to Vasudev, Jnana Vairagya Viryanam, the power of Jnana and Vairagya automatically develops in the devotees. Right? Therefore, Nahi Kaschid Vipashraya, they do not take any other shelter. Right? So, it's an important point. We should not practice the process of Jnana or Karma. Actually, we should not take the shelter. We only practice bhakti and Jnana Vairagya develops. But we use Jnana and Vairagya as a tool. While we are developing that, we use them as a tool. When we do understand what is this quality, how to act, right? But we are not, by using Jnana and Vairagya as a tool in bhakti, is not practicing Jnana and Vairagya actually. There is a practice of Jnana Marg, and you know, those who are renunciants, they practice very severe austerities in order to develop sense control. You go to the Himalaya, stand in water in very chill, stand under the sun. We don't practice Jnana and Vairagya, we practice bhakti, but we use them as a tool while we are cultivating bhakti. So therefore, even that practice is also considered as a practice of bhakti. So therefore, devotees do not have to go outside of the bhakti any point of time. Okay? Like that. Text 32. Naham virincho nakumar narado na brahma putra munaya suresha vidam yasse hitam amshakam amshaka na tat sarupam prithagishamanina.
Neither I, Lord Shiva, nor Brahma, nor the Ashwini Kumaras, nor Narada or the other great sages who are Brahma's sons, nor even the demigods can understand the pastimes and personality of the Supreme Lord. Although we are part of the Supreme Lord, we consider ourselves independent, separate controllers, and thus we cannot understand His identity.
Okay, so Lord Shiva is saying that I myself, Brahma, Ashwini Kumaras, so all the great demigods, myself, Lord Brahma, we can't understand the position of the personality of Godhead, right? Because we tend to consider ourselves as prithak ishamanina. So that's what we were discussing actually. They consider them independent controllers. So when a person worships the demigods, even for a non-material purpose or for sometimes say a purpose which is intended for bhakti, etc., there is a chance that a person may consider themselves to be a prathak ish actually. That chance is always there because they have that power and position. They consider themselves many a times, you know, that mentality come. So therefore the mentality of considering them to be the supreme may actually also come. Right? That we discussed yesterday. Therefore worship is only meant for Vishnu. Right? 33. Nahi asyasti priya kaschin. Na priya so paropiva. Atmavat sarvabhutanam sarvabhuta priyo harihi.
He holds no one as very dear and no one as inimical. He has no one for his own relative and no one is alien to him. He is actually the soul of the soul of all living entities. Thus he is the auspicious friend of all living beings and is very near and dear to all of them.
Okay, so now after explaining the glory of the devotee, he explained that we are not that also that exalted, you know, we also sometimes tend to consider ourselves. Now he says, now hear the nature of the Supreme Lord. Now he starts glorifying the Supreme Lord in this verse. Nahi asyasti priya kaschin, again, na priya swa parovivah, atmavat sarva bhutanam. He is no one's friend and enemy, but he is the true friend of all. Again, remember, sometimes, you know, don't confuse the two. There's another platform. The Lord is beyond bondage and liberation, but he is eternally liberated because he is eternally liberated. So when we talk of he is no one's friend and enemies, one should understand that is these dualities within the three modes. But he is actually the true friend, Lord says, right? Suridham sarva bhutanam. But many times he said, nahi asya asti priya kashchin. He is no one's friend, no one's enemies. Not the way, not in a way which is usually found in this world. Right? But he is the supreme friend. Right? That's a different platform. So that is being pointed out. Tasya chayam mahabhagas chitraketu priyanuga sarvatra samadriko shanto hayaham chayavachuta priyaha tasmana vismaya karya purusheshu mahatmasu mahapurusha bhakteshu shanteshu samadarshishu.
This magnanimous Chitraketu is a dear devotee of the Lord. He is equal to all living entities and is free from attachment and hatred. Similarly, I am also very dear to Lord Narayana. Therefore, no one should be astonished to see the activities of the most exalted devotee of Narayana, for they are free from attachment and envy. They are always peaceful and they are equal to everyone.
Right? So, Lord says, now just hear the nature of Chitraketu Maharaj and also myself. Right? Tasya chayam mahabhaga Chitraketu priyanuga sarvatra samadriko shanto hoy aham chayavachyuta priya. I am also achyuta priya. There is a purpose Lord is saying that, we'll discuss that. But Lord Shiva is indirectly pointing out, just see, he is always peaceful, you know, samadrik shanto, tum khali pili mein bhadak gai. Dekho, you know, that is like a unspoken, you know. And these devotees are always very pleasing to everyone, you know. But you spoke very harsh. Your curse was very harsh. Just see, you know, how pleasingly he spoke. Even after being cursed, nectar was coming from his mouth. But actually poison, you vomited poison. Lord Shiva, like, not saying in that gross sense, but a subtle hint is given, you know. Your words were like very sharp, poisonous. But he was samudrika, shanta, you know, he's very nectarian, achyuta priya, right? So like that. Because again we understand, actually Mother Parvati, also very exalted devotee of the Lord, you know. There is no fault on her part. This is inspired by the Lord, you know. But it is just for the sake of lesson, you know, that we should not, towards the devotees of the Lord who are always equanimous and all that, we should not utter like that, you know. We should not speak. We should not vomit poison. We should learn that devotees of the Lord, they are always, what are their qualities, and we should follow them. And of course, Mother Parvati is very exalted. Right? There is no way we can actually see any fault in her. But Lord Shiva is the husband. He can jokingly, you know, point out the faults. You know? And we just simply learn the lesson there, like that. So Prabhupada says, Prabhupada anyway brings another dimension. You can read the paragraph, second last paragraph. He says even in the higher dimensions, the female understanding is less than the male understanding. Prabhupada brings another punchline, controversial aspect, you know. But anyway, so toward the end of the purport, he says, upon hearing the instruction of Lord Shiva, Parvati must have been very much ashamed for cursing Chitraketu to become a demon. So Parvati, Lord, when he glorified Lord Shiva, Parvati felt definitely ashamed. Shri Shuka Uvacha Iti Shutva Bhagavata Shivasyo Shivasyo Ma Bhivashitam Babhuva Shantah Dhirajan Devi Vigata Vismaya.
Shri Shukdev Goswami said, O King, after hearing this speech by her husband, the demigoddess Uma, the wife of Lord Shiva, gave up her astonishment at the behavior of King Chitraketu and became steady in intelligence.
So Lord Shiva actually tells Mother Parvati in the last verse that we both are Achyuta Priyas. Right? So he says, look, truth is like that. He explains. Right? Chitraketu Maharaj, I was laughing at Chitraketu Maharaj as if saying, you know, in response that, you know, you show yourself to be a devotee, but you are rooming with all these women, you know, you secretly are enjoying with the women, but you are posing as a devotee, you know, everywhere else. And I am posing myself as an enjoyment, you know, as an enjoyer, and I hid my bhakti behind. You know, so they were joking with each other like that. It was a friendly joking going on. I'll just read what he said. You show yourself to be detached through pure bhakti, but you enjoy with the women, vidyadharas, in private places. Although you're not enjoying, but even with the women externally, you are deceptive. I also show myself to be controlled by women and also act deceptively. Right? So Lord Shiva says, tum bhi aisa deceptive kar rahe ho, main bhi deceptive. Like that. So that was like a friendly, right? So whereas you show bhakti and hide your material enjoyment, I show material face and hide my bhakti. Lord Shiva is telling. And Lord Shiva is telling Mother Parvati. That is the relation between the two of us. Like we were, with unspoken words, we were conversing like that with each other. Right? In this way, the two had exchanged words in a joking way. Right? So, therefore, you should not have interrupted, Lord Shiva is meant to say, you should not have interrupted our joking exchange. Right? But Mother Parvati may be astonished, you know, that look, you are you have love for the Lord, you know, from beginningless time, since time immemorial, you are a great Vaishnava, Mahadev. And he was just a fallen Kshatriya and he's become a devotee now only, you know. So he said, oh, wait, don't judge there for a devotee, you know. The kal aisa tha, aaj aise kaise ho gaya. Don't judge a devotee. Now he's a great devotee. Now we have that relationship, Lord says. You know, he formed such friendly relationship. Mother Parvati is astonished. Itna friendly relation, you know. He was just crying at the dead body of his son. Aur bhi Lord Shiva ke saath joking chal raha inka, you know. Therefore, Lord Shiva says, don't be surprised. Right? That is the exalted position of the pure devotees of the Lord. Don't be surprised. They are a very high platform. Right? You have just witnessed. Therefore, they are they're on that level, on that caliber. Right? Therefore, when Lord Shiva explained, therefore it meant Devi Vigata Vismaya, all her astonishment was gone away. And it's mentioned here that Vishwanath Thakur says that Shantadhi, peaceful, she became peaceful, indicate that remembering her previous mood, she became estranged and cover her face with her cloth. Hmm. इति भागवतो देव्या प्रतिशप्तुम् अलंतमा मूर्धनासा जग्रहे शापम् एतावत् साधु लक्षणम्.
The great devotee Chitraketu was so powerful that he was quite competent to curse Mother Parvati in retaliation. But instead of doing so, he very humbly accepted the curse and bowed his head before Lord Shiva and his wife. This is very much to be appreciated as the standard behavior of a Vaishnava.
Okay, so Shukadeva Goswami is giving this beautiful lesson. Etavat sadhu lakshanam. Dekho, sadhu ka aisa lakshan hai. These are symptoms of great devotee. He could have cursed Mother Parvati back, but he didn't do. Prabhupada says, being protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the fourth last line, a devotee is always powerful, but a devotee does not wish to show his power unnecessarily. However, when a less intelligent person has some power, he wants to use it for sense gratification. This is not the behavior of a devotee. 38. Jagyatashtur dakshinagno danavimyonim ashritah mritraiti abhi vikhyato jnana vijnana samyutat.
Being cursed by Mother Durga, Bhavani, the wife of Lord Shiva, that same Chitraketu accepted birth in a demonic species of life, although still fully equipped with transcendental knowledge and practical application of that knowledge in life. He appeared as a demon at the fire sacrifice performed by Tvashta, and thus he became famous as Vritrasura.
Okay, so now he ties the loose end, you know, give the story of Vritrasura. Itne bade Mahabhagavat demon, the body of demon, and Chitraketu Maharaj highlights, he is the great Mahabhagavat, they are the same, you know. Tie the loose ends over here. Etatte sarvam akhyatam yanmam tam paripritchasi vritasya asura jatischa karanam bhagavan mate.
My dear King Parikshit, you inquired from me how Vritrasura, a great devotee, took birth in a demonic family. Thus I have tried to explain to you everything about this.
Okay, thus he said, I have tried to explain whatever you asked of me. Itihasam imam punyam chitraketur mahatmanah mahatmyam vishnu bhaktanam Shutva Bandhadi Muchate.
Chitraketu was a great devotee, Mahatma. If one hears this history of Chitraketu from a pure devotee, the listener also is freed from the conditional life of material existence.
Okay, so Tihasam Punya Chitraketu Mahatma. Mahatyam Vishnu Bhaktanam. So here, the specifically it's being said, this Mahatmyam of the Mahatmas should be heard from other Mahatmas who are Vishnu Bhaktanam. This story should be heard from the devotees of the Lord. So Prabhupada says, therefore Shukadev Goswami advised the history of Chitraketu to be heard from a devotee. Anything about devotional service or characteristic of the Lord and his devotees must be heard from a devotee, not from a professional reciter. This is advice herein. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's secretary also advised that one learn the history of Srimad Bhagavatam from a devotee. Yaha Bhagavat pad Vaishnavera sthane. He said to a Brahmana who was, he had learned Bhagavatam Varanasi. One devotee had come, you know. So Gopal, I think, Gopal, his name was Gopal, or somebody anyway, but he recommended Swarup Damodar Goswami, Yaha Bhagavata Pada Vaishnavera Swami, go and learn Bhagavatam from Vaishnava. Yeah. And another verse is also quoted, A Vaishnav Mukhod Kiranam. 41, Yaya Tat Pratar Uttaya, Shraddhaya Vagyata Pathet Itihasam Harim Smritva Sayati Paramam Gatim.
One who rises from bed early in the morning and recites this history of Chitraketu, controlling his words and mind and remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead, will return home back to Godhead without difficulty.
Okay, so just like now, Chitraketu Maharaj is on the way, back to Godhead. Krishna has set his journey, In this way, anyone who hears with great faith also treads, follow the footsteps of Chitraketu Maharaj. Go back home, back to Godhead. Jai Granthara Srimad Bhagatam Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Chitraketu Maharaj Ki Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande. And ask personally.